When you look back at our Lord's ministry lasted 3 years, and in many ways, each of those years was really different, if you will. The first year was a year of acquaintance and, more importantly, a year of wonder. Our Lord was performing many miracles, and He was making His way from village to village and doing much teaching. And it was during those years that His fame was renowned. Everybody was coming to Him. Thousands upon thousands would come to Him. He would speak by a sea. In fact, the crowd would be so strong and they'd be pushing up against Him that He would have to get in a boat, and the boat would become His pulpit just to pull out to keep everybody from just crowding in on Him as He taught. His second year, however, was a year of challenge. Not so much the Pharisees and the religious leaders challenging Him, although that was definitely taking place. The year of challenge was our Lord challenging the followers. And what really started to amp up in that second year was the teaching of parables. Now, if you've been a Bible student for any amount of time, you probably don't look at a parable and shudder. It always seemed to have a good, beautiful, neat message to it. In fact, in Bible class, you would draw a picture of a sower or this, that, and the other. And it always kind of, maybe to some degree, had a warm fuzzy, here's the way the kingdom is. But when Jesus was sharing the parables, to many of His listeners, they were far from warm and fuzzy, because they knew many of the parables were a challenge to their faith. When you get to Matthew chapter 13, you'll notice that even the disciples are a little bewildered as to why the Lord is speaking in parables. If you'll notice verse 10 in Matthew 13, they're actually saying, Jesus, all right, why are you doing this parable thing? I mean, you're getting us all lost, and if we're lost, we know the crowds are lost, and people are starting to murmur. You're not really making sense. And Jesus goes, really? Maybe you're not really listening. And so what you find is a little bit later, He'll talk of how the people's ears are dull, because when their learning is challenged, instead of going and asking questions, they just walk away in ignorance. Verse 18, Jesus has to explain the parable of the sower. And then, to make matters even worse, He shares another challenging parable, the parable of the weeds. And then you get to the parables that are our focus now. The parables of the hidden treasure. These parables seem almost benign, but not if you get them in their context. I want you to notice in verses 44 to 46 that Jesus is sharing a very unusual story. In fact, it would be a crazy story, definitely a hyperbole, quite the exaggeration. There is a man who has found some sort of treasure in a field. In that day and age, it wasn't that uncommon for somebody to bury their treasures. I want you to imagine an opposing army or some ominous forces coming into the land. There's no bank. There's no vault that you can turn to. And so it wasn't that uncommon for people to bury their treasures as they ran away in hopes of coming back one day to that land, and their treasures would be there. But as often was the case, many of them did not get to come back, and the treasure was left buried. And somebody might find it. And so if the land did not belong to them, then they would need to purchase the land. In this scenario, what makes it even more crazy is that the man, Jesus says, who found this treasure went out and sold all that he had. I mean, he literally goes bankrupt so he could buy this one field. Who does that? That makes no sense. Cheryl and I, we've have moved around a little bit, and every time we go to buy a house, the very first thing we have in our little conversation before we buy it, can we sell it? Can we sell it? And if I sell it, am I going to get a little bit more for it? I mean, what's going to happen here? It's like, as soon as you buy it, you're thinking, now, what can I get for this? This guy's not buying something to sell it, and he's going broke to get it. That's odd. Jesus tells another story, another short story. Parable. There's a man who knows pearls. He knows pearls well. And one day in his business dealing, he finds what he considers to be the perfect pearl. And he, like the other guy, sells all that he has to get that one pearl. He goes out of business. He literally goes bankrupt. He gets rid of all that he has to buy something that he's never, ever, ever going to get rid of. Does that make any sense? Now, I want you to imagine that's your husband. We got problems. You did what? Oh, yeah, you just don't understand. This is the greatest pearl in the world. Okay, you got me a nice pearl to wear, but I can never go to dinner and wear it anywhere because we don't have any money. Can you imagine how people would be talking? Okay, you have this great treasure, but you're not going to invest in it. You're not going to spend it. You're not going to share it. But Jesus said, you know what? This is exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, why is Jesus doing that? Because most everybody who was coming to him right now, just to be honest, most everybody coming to him right now was coming for the miracles. They were coming to get something. They were coming maybe to be fed. They were coming to feel relief. They were coming for physical and emotional prosperity. And Jesus is eventually saying, no, I'm offering you much more than that. People who are in my kingdom, people who see the value of what I'm sharing, will give up all they have to get it. Because they understand its value. Now, you might also be looking at this parable going, boy, this really doesn't fit with all of Jesus's. Didn't the Bible tell us to share? Isn't there something in the Bible about sharing? Sharing your possession, giving away. Who goes and gets something? They're never going to let it go. It's only, who does that? Now, how does that fit in with Christianity? Well, please don't misunderstand the concept of a parable. A parable is always just teaching one lesson. Don't use it in a way to contradict others. Our Lord is simply making one point. And that is this. To the child of God who truly understands the value of the treasure, it will not only be everything to them, they're willing to give up everything for it. And if somebody is really like that when it comes to the treasure of Christ, if somebody is really that committed, if somebody is really, really that invested, how does that change how they live their life? Yeah, to the outsider, they're weird, crazy. Who does that? But to those in the kingdom, it makes sense. Just a moment, we're going to sit down at a feast. A feast that's really a treasure. Because it represents It represents a treasure in the field. It represents a pearl of great price. It represents something that is worth everything. The question is, and this is why Jesus shared the parable, how valuable is it to you? See, ultimately, when it comes down to real estate or any other possession, the true value of something is how much somebody's willing to pay for it. Yesterday, you could get a ticket pretty cheap. Next week, not so much. It's the exact same seat. It's the exact same crowded stadium. It's the exact same sweaty people that you'll be sitting around. It's exactly the same. But the value is what somebody's willing to pay. This morning, as you take your seat at the table, I would like for you to do all that you can to put yourself in this audience that's listening to Jesus. Yeah, He's challenging us. But He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because those that understand the value, those who understand the gift, they'll give up everything to get it. Share with you one quote. This came from a book that the college students and I are studying on Thursday nights. Quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let me say that one more time just so you get it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This morning, let's hold a little tighter to what the Lord is offering to the treasure of His Son.